Blog Talk Radio.
If you didn't care, what happened to me? I didn't care for you. We would zigzag away through the bottom of pain, occasionally glancing up through the rain, wondering which of the foe is to blame. But watching the pigs on the wing.
Good evening and welcome to Weekly Conservative Talk. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we're watching pigs fly.
Oh, there goes another one of them.
I swear to Jesus. You know, the whole album, Animals, from Pink Floyd, has all kinds of interesting things. The concept, lie down with dogs, wake up with fleas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, backstabbing. You know, we have a Congress that is absolutely, you know, lying down with dogs, pigs flying, backstabbing. It's getting downright ugly. Good evening, Bill.
Well, good evening, Tracy. How the heck are you?
In the middle of a blizzard.
Oh, are you really?
We are. We're expecting a foot of snow tonight.
Ow! Well, I guess I can only say I wish I was getting some.
CJ will probably have a snow day tomorrow.
Aha! Okay.
There is at least 6 on the ground already, and it's one of those nice, moist, packing snows.
Oh, boy.
Which means it's going to be a pain in the ass to shovel for a while.
Yes,
and
it is.
If you drive over it, it's going to pack it into a nice, solid ice.
Yep.
There's at least 6 on the ground already, and they weren't expecting it to start getting really heavy until now.
Wow.
For the next 6 hours, they expect it to probably snow at the rate of 1.5 to 2 inches an hour.
Hmm. Yep.
So,
what's the temp there?
Temp is 28.
Dang, I'm at 27.
Yeah, temperature's perfect. There's a lot of moisture in it. We're pulling right up from the Gulf. The line is about 180, 200 miles south of us, which means we're right in the sweet spot.
Oh boy! Well,
so
I wish I could get some of that. Southern California got drenched. I'm sitting up here with no rain, no water. In fact, we got down to 10 degrees last night. I got my water back on at about 2 o'clock this afternoon. And I think I'm going to hit about 5 degrees tonight.
Is what it's looking like. Yeah, we're supposed to. Once the wind has been howling pretty much all evening, so they're talking blizzard conditions over the next 12 hours.
Mm.
Whiteouts, high drifts, and somewhere in the vicinity of mid-morning tomorrow is when they're thinking it's going to stop. And then sometime late tomorrow, the bottom will fall out, and we'll drop below zero.
Yeah, going to freeze it right in place.
Yep.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
there's lots of stuff going on.
Oh, boy.
We've got abortion has been thrown out.
Yes, it has.
I hear that that it sounds like a bunch of Republicans and Democrats have gotten together to be a new gang to try and shepherd this thing through. I want to make sure that those Republicans, if that is in fact what I'm hearing is correct, that those Republicans are absolutely gone in the primaries.
Absolutely. If we can identify them, we need to do whatever we can, regardless of who their opponent is. They need to become unemployed.
Unemployed. So we'll talk. We'll spend some time talking about some of the going ons that are going on there. I want to spend some time talking about Hopenhagen.
Oh yeah, or Nopenhagen, or whatever it's called.
Or Obamagagan, or
yeah.
What you know, Limogagan. You know, there's just all things going on. So we'll talk about some Copenhagen and some climate state gate stuff that's going on. And then I do want to mention Tiger Woods.
Oh, boy. Jeez.
Okay. Now that we've mentioned him, let's go
on. Oh, good. Oh, thank you. Jeez.
That's it. I got nothing else.
I got nothing to say about it. We mentioned him.
I said this to Victoria today. You know, any male sports star, once they make $100 million, they should neuter them.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah, well, it'd cut down a whole lot on the sex scandal stuff, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if they want to continue to be sports stars, they want to continue to make lots of money, just neuter them.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Go on from there. Okay, that's about all I have to say as far as that is concerned.
Exactly.
we talked a little bit, and I know you guys really were happy to hear about all my sickness.
Over
the weekend.
I trust you have recovered.
No, I got sick again over the weekend.
Oh, man.
So I was down for about another 36 hours over the weekend. It wasn't even quite 36 hours. It was actually pretty much just 24 hours.
Wow.
It was kind of a bizarre thing. But seemed to be back 100% at this point.
Good. Excellent.
So and that means I can work my butt off tomorrow, you know, shoveling snow. And, of course, I have CJ because snow day, she can go out there and shovel with me. But the first thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
It's a really short thing. It's really a short thing. And that is the Palin book tour.
Oh, yeah.
I only want to bring up one particular thing. You may have heard the story that yesterday, Mall of America.
Yep.
Some moron. Now, you've probably never been to the Mall of America.
No, I have not. I understand it's the largest mall in the world, though.
It is a very big mall. We've been there several times. And it's got an amusement park in the center of the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually, there's multiple levels. I think there's three or four levels total that you can look down on the amusement park.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
Somebody was up on the second floor and decided he was going to throw tomatoes at Palin. Okay.
Yeah.
This is all I have to say about that, okay? I understand the idea of throwing tomatoes at a figure that you don't like,
mm-hmm.
okay? But apparently, based on from what I'm hearing, is the guy was about 150 yards from her. Okay?
Oh,
now,
Lord.
Brett Favre has an arm.
Yeah, he does.
But the idea that he could hit a target 150 yards away, okay, is really pushing his ability. This guy throws tomatoes, and all he managed to do is hit a cop.
Exactly.
Idiot. What I wanted to bring up is because it's something that people have been commenting on more and more. When Governor Palin resigned, the left went, she's done.
Yep.
they're absolutely going, she's done, she's over, write her off, no big deal.
Uh-huh.
There's a fairly significant number of people on the right that did exactly the same thing.
Yes, they did.
Wrote her off, done. Okay? Now, for the people that are actually like what she stands for, her leaving did nothing bad in our eyes. Okay? She has recovered all of the lost popularity from the resignation at this
point. Yes, she has.
But the thing that I find that's rather interesting is the left is more berserk about her now
than they were
when she was the governor.
Yes, they were.
It is clear that they are just genetically incapable of even remotely putting aside any objective rationale for dealing with her.
Exactly. I mean, you know, they go berserk while they're claiming that she's inconsequential and of no account. Hello?
She's nothing. She's meaningless.
Yeah.
She's gone.
Meaningless. Absolutely.
But they're acting like she's present. They're almost as bad with her as they were with Bush.
Almost? Well, actually, in some respects, even worse. Bush, the only time Bush's family ever got attacked was when his twin daughters were...
Drinking
in public or something. I don't even remember the exact circumstances. But that's the only time that his family was gotten after. Sarah's family has been lynched. Lynched in the sense of the word of publicly pilloried with no cause.
Well, you know, you and I differed upon that Letterman issue. I thought it was pretty much a non-issue. You know, a lot of other people felt it was a lot, you know, more, you know, of a problem with that. You know, I certainly understand that point of view, but it is, what I'm looking towards at this point is, you know, there isn't, okay? Is there anything of substance that the left is throwing at her at this point? Or actually for the last 6 months, is there anything that the left is throwing at her? There isn't. There's nothing of substance that they're throwing at her. I mean, you and I have both had multiple arguments with people that have said she's an idiot, she's ignorant, she has no idea what the world is talking about, she's, you know, incompetent. And, of course, you ask them to give you explanations and you hear the bit, and then
yeah,
they'll throw
exactly.
out something. You know,
yeah.
She can't even say what newspaper she was reading. I'm like, give me a break. This 57th
yeah, really?
State.
I can't.
You know?
I see. The fate of the free world hangs on what newspaper she reads.
Right. So, you know.
Yes, indeed.
You know, and there's just, you know, we got into an argument, you know, she went to 4 colleges, and I went, I went to 4.
Yeah, I'm so.
No. Big deal.
Gee, it took her what, 5 years to graduate, 6 years to graduate. Gosh, you know what? When you work your way through school, sometimes that happens.
You know, and I went to one school for exactly one semester. I was in California.
Yeah.
I was in the military. I went first semester, took one class. You know, got transferred away from that base. You know, that was the last time I went to. It's in my college transcripts.
Yep.
You know, for that one semester, one course. So, you know, they're hard pressed to come up with anything of substance. You know,
I know.
I just kind of find it interesting that the guy throwing tomatoes is about the most substantive thing a lefty has thrown at Palin in 6 months.
And don't you find it ironic that the party of inclusiveness, that the political philosophy of getting along, are the ones that have been instigating the violence?
Oh,
I mean, you have Gladney, you have the guy who got his finger bit off, you got You got this guy throwing tomatoes. Okay, lefties, what is it? You're a party of inclusion? Fine. Include folks. You know, attack them, at least not physically.
But, the liberals are nothing if, I was going to say hypocrites, but they are inclusionary for anybody that agrees with them.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you agree with them, they want you to be part of the party.
Yep, you can be a purple people leader, but you agree with me, that's fine, you're in.
Right, but if you don't agree with me, then not only do I not want you here, I am going to do everything I can to make sure you don't get anywhere near being here.
Yep, exactly.
Anyways, that was the only point I wanted to make, that for the first time in 6 months, a lefty has thrown something of substance at it.
Exactly. And that was a tomato, with a little lettuce and a couple of carrots, you could have a salad.
Yeah, and then of course, as is everything else, having fallen short of the target. All right, so let's see. But let's get Copenhagen out of the way. There's so much low hanging fruit there.
I know.
Let's just pick those tomatoes and,
toss them back.
Because there's someone there. All right, so let's talk about transportation first. 1,200 limos have descended upon Denmark, of which the vast majority of them, over 1,000 of them, had to be driven to Denmark because the country didn't have enough limos.
Yes, that's true. Yep. Absolutely.
And when asked how many of them were hybrids, the answer is, do you know what the answer is?
Five.
Five.
Out of 1,200 plus.
Five limos are hybrids. Congratulations. All the rest of them are gas-guzzling, diesel-spewing, monstrosities.
Yep.
Congratulations. Now,
all
those
job,
limos are going to meet all these dignitaries coming in by their private planes,
mm-hmm.
but of course the airport doesn't have enough room for the private planes, so the planes have to land, discharge their passengers, then take off and fly into Germany to sit and wait before they can come back, pick up their charges, and fly them back.
Gee, I wonder what the size of that carbon footprint is.
I just, it's just amazing to me that the idea, I mean, you'd think that they could have, carpooled.
Hey, there's an idea.
Why couldn't they carpooled into Berlin or Dusseldorf or something like that? Everybody flies into there, and then they could drive the limos up into Denmark.
There you go.
And
they probably have enough room to park 1,200 limos.
That would have made more sense.
Now,
of course, the most prominent proponent of global climate will not be there this week.
No, I hear he canceled out.
I think he's actually here in Wisconsin.
Nor perhaps here in Hayfork. I don't know. We're getting pretty cold.
You've got a blizzard. You've got a blizzard.
Okay.
You've got to be around somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Got to be around somewhere. But apparently, Brock, the most interesting thing that I've heard. Okay, so ClimateGate explodes 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And apparently, the newest reports are coming out that the Earth is not going to warm by 2 degrees. It's not going to warm by 4 degrees. It's going to warm by 11 degrees.
Oh, my gosh, really? I could use some
degrees.
Of that. Let me see. I would be at 37 degrees then. I could live with that.
Except for
Hayfork, right?
Except for 11 degrees would make the tropics virtually uninhabitable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Like they were at the last ice age or something. Or not the last one, but...
No. Theoretically, you know, going back to, you know, as much as 65 million years ago.
Yeah.
It would just be, you know, we would lose, at 11 degrees, we would have no Antarctic or Arctic ice sheets. 11
huh?
degrees. That's 11 degrees would actually melt the poles.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Now, you might ask, how the hell could they come up with 11 degrees? 11 degrees.
I'll ask that.
That's practically runaway greenhouse effect.
Yeah, yeah.
At that point. You know, and ignoring the idea that the amount of moisture that would be allowed in the air at that point, you know, the saturation level, the humidity level would be just astronomical. Well, it can't be astronomical. It can only be as much as 100%.
Yeah.
But the saturation point, the amount of moisture that could be carried in the atmosphere at that point would be amazing. Apparently, they're getting that because they were paying attention to one particular weather station in Hawaii, right near the Mauna Loa volcano during eruption period.
Hmm.
That's how they figured out the whole planet was going to become 11 degrees warmer, was because we had one volcano erupting, and that station was reporting it was getting a lot hotter.
Oh boy, really? Gee, lava wouldn't have anything to do with that. Nah.
I'm just thinking, isn't there a weather station here in Wisconsin we can balance that out with?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that weather station hasn't been peer-reviewed.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. One of the arguments, and did you read their Weekly Standard story?
No, don't think so.
It's probably the best Weekly Standard, last end of the week, Weekly Standard, probably the best review over ClimateGate that I've read, and I've probably read 24 different...
Wow.
Different things, and probably read 200 different posts on it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the best articles in this. And one of the things they were talking about was the weather stations and, you know, how they're handling the bias that appears in the weather stations.
Okay.
And they're able to calculate, deal with two weather stations and what they were doing. Now, here's the question. The scenario that was posed. Let's assume that you have a weather station, location A, and 100 miles away, you have another weather station, location B.
Okay.
Now they're just 100 miles apart.
Right.
And over the last 40 years, those two weather stations have reported diligently their numbers. And one of those stations shows no change. Temperature has been normal fluctuations, you know, winter, summer, spring, fall,
mm-hmm.
but no discernible change in temperature over the 40 years. The other station has shown a marked increase over those same 40 years. Okay? So you want to know what the distinction is between these two stations. Station A, the one that's had no change, you find has been in the wilds of nature for all 40 years. Okay. This weather station is at the Grand Canyon. The other weather station was put into a suburb of a town called Tucson 40 years ago, and now that station sits in the middle of Tucson.
Of Tucson.
Okay. Now, the question is, what would you do if you were a researcher? Would you simply ignore the Tucson station because it has been compromised, and its bias is obvious because of the urbanization around the station.
Right.
And just rely on the one station that's been in nature and undisturbed for the 40 years? That would be
well, it would depend on what my agenda was, wouldn't it?
The other thing you could do is you could take the change that has occurred at Tucson and average it with the non-change in the park, Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And then you would have some average between those two numbers.
Oh.
Now, of course, that situation would suggest that the Tucson one is going to average somewhat lower than it has, in fact, been.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grand Canyon one is going to register, on average, higher than it has been.
Yep.
The net result is that over a period of time, we have seen a increase in temperatures over 40 years for that pair of stations.
Imagine that.
When in fact, the reality is there's been no change.
Exactly.
Because the change that has occurred in Tucson can be all attributed to the urbanization of the station.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we know that because just 100 miles away, the Grand Canyon station shows no change at all.
Yep.
Now, I will suggest that I have some issues with that because I've been in, I don't know if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon.
Yes, I have.
In the summer.
No. Well, kind of in the summer, early.
Okay. I've been there 4 times. Okay. In June, July, and in August.
Oh, boy.
And I can tell you that the temperature variation between Tucson, although I only ever went as far as Phoenix and the Grand Canyon on any one big particular day can be pretty extreme.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You could have a very nice, comfortable day to sit on the porch in Phoenix and it snow at the canyon.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So there could be a pretty substantial temperature difference between the two. And that's on a perfectly normal, ordinary day. So the idea that the Grand Canyon station has basically stayed steady over the last 40 years, I find to be rather interesting. I would have expected it to have a little bit more variability, but maybe not. That's the thing. The key here is a pair of stations that, we can look at and see how it's being dealt with in the system and know that the method that they're doing is, in fact, an upward bias.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that is fundamentally what's wrong with the data set that is being produced and used. Now, people say, this is just the data set is just one data set. And of course, you and I and a lot of other people are arguing it's the data set.
Yes.
It is the only data set of all of these stations, land and ocean stations, for the last 70 years.
Yes, indeed.
The only one. There is no other data set.
And incidentally, folks, the raw data, not the adjusted data, but the raw data has conveniently been discarded.
Disappeared.
Yes.
It's disappeared.
Yes, it has.
Okay, so when somebody
that ain't
says
science,
well, there's
folks.
Lots of other things, I've had this conversation with somebody. There's lots of other evidence that we have global warming. And I'd say, great. I don't dispute that. There are lots of other evidence that there's global warming. How much? Now, you can't go to the raw data set. You can't use thermometer situations, and you can't use some of the other alternate sources that they have used, such as tree rings. Because we already know that tree rings have completely disconnected from the temperature sets.
Or so we're told.
Or so we're told. So, you know, if you want to make the argument that, in fact, we are warmer, and I will, for the sake of argument, and, you know, I love the sake of argument, for the sake of argument, we're going to concede the fact that there is some warming. The question is, how much? And then we have all kinds of problems with that because of those biases that we just talked about. Here's the other problem. You and I already understand this. We've talked about it. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. The question is, in relationship to the historical record, are we warmer, cooler, getting warmer, or getting cooler than at other periods in time?
Yeah.
And we have, historically, what's called the medieval warming period.
Right.
It seems to have disappeared from climatology, and the Little Ice Age, which has equally disappeared, because, of course, they've just averaged the two out.
Of course.
Well, you know, we were 4 degrees warmer in the medieval, you know, warming period, and we were 4 degrees colder, so there's been no temperature change over the last 1,000 years.
Of course.
No. Okay. So, from the IPCC's own report in middle 90s, we find that, in fact, we're not even yet as warm as it was during the medieval warming period. In fact,
no.
We're just getting off to a good start. But, of course, we're not getting off to a good start because temperatures are actually falling.
Oh, yes, they are.
They're not rising, which causes all kinds of consternation. So all of this is going on when we get to Copenhagen, and, of course, we find out that, you know, Obama's still going to go out there.
Yes.
Until last night.
Last night. The leaked memo.
The leaked memo. If anybody had any idea what was going to happen at Copenhagen, here is what the plan was. All the undeveloped countries were going to force the developed countries, namely us, to pay a tax because of all the CO2 we have emitted into the Earth's atmosphere over the last 75 years.
Yep.
To the undeveloped countries so that they could minimize their own emissions as they do economic development. Now, that was the plan.
Yep.
It turns out
there's a competing plan.
There's a competing plan. And I'm sitting there like going, you know, Obama has too much fun throwing people under the bus. I swear to God, that man loves throwing people under the bus.
He gets some kind of a perverse pleasure out of that.
Because if there's a chance for him to screw somebody,
mm-hmm.
he's going to do it.
Yep.
It appears that the United States has been party to this little memo that was leaked, that what they were going to do is they were going to go, yeah, we'll give you a little bit of money, but, you know, we're not going to let the UN handle it. We're going to take care of it ourselves through the World Bank.
Yes, indeed.
And let me tell you, there are 77 undeveloped countries right now that are squealing like a stuck pig.
Yes, they are. Well, I mean, how can you have climate justice if they don't get to dictate it?
Pigs flying!
Yes, indeed.
Mm. No. I think it's rather interesting that this little memo has come out. And, of course, now Copenhagen is just in a mess. The welcome speech given by the, was it the Prime Minister or the President of Denmark? Is it the President? I think it was the President.
Prime Minister, isn't it?
Is it the Prime Minister of Denmark? Came out and said, this is a bunch of hooey. Basically, that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He came out and said, welcome to the summit on global warming, which is full of hooey. He doesn't use the word hooey. You know,
no, he doesn't.
The Europeans are much more sophisticated than that. But he came pretty close to using the word bullshit. So I find it rather interesting that at this particular point in time, this conference may, you know, we're hearing about the idea that Danes are getting all ready for riots. It might be the conferees themselves by the
yeah.
end of this. they might be at each other's throats, and then I don't think Obama's going to show up. I really don't think he's going to show up.
And as I recall, this was going to be like about December 19th or so, something like that, that he was going to be there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know that we're going to have that particular goodie to go with. So.
Yeah.
All the concerns that people were raising about what was going to happen at Copenhagen, I'm considerably less concerned about what's going to happen in Copenhagen, only because, you know, it's kind of like a bank robber that plans on going in and getting $1,000 from the bank, and then realizes that he just got out with $1 million.
yeah.
And he's really just lost. I mean, he's just doesn't know what to do, is confused, and ends up screwing things up because, you know, he knew what to do with $1,000. $1 million just absolutely just
yep.
gone. And I think what Copenhagen was they said, you know, we have Obama. He's on our side. This is going to be a slam dunk. The only people that could stop this is the United States. And the United States is fully on board. We're going to really ram this down everyone's throat. And you know what?
It didn't work.
I think that they have just stumbled all over each other so badly at this point that the odds of anything coming out of Copenhagen other than a whole lot of recriminations, a whole lot of people yelling and screaming at each other, and a whole lot of disarray in the climate, you know, AGW, you know, community is just going to be, give me the popcorn.
Yep.
I want to watch.
Yep. Lots of butter on that popcorn for me. Thank you. Well, you know, but the interesting thing about that, though, is at the same time that this memo gets leaked, our EPA says, oh, by the way, we're going to regulate CO2 just right here in the good old U.S. of A.
You know what I want to do? You know what I want to do? This is what I want to do. I want some lefty to get in my face, okay, yelling
yeah.
and screaming, okay, because I'm going to sue them for poisoning my air.
Oh, yeah. They are. They're breathing.
That's right.
Exactly.
They're breathing. They're assaulting me with a known poisonous chemical.
Yes, they are.
I want somebody to do that. I want somebody to get into somebody's face and yelling and screaming, and then I want them to be brought up on charges of assault with a deadly weapon.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
And will you?
And you will have the full weight and fury of the United States government on your side.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, that this is harmful to your health. And you get somebody sitting there yelling at you and getting all that CO2 right into your face.
Yep.
I think it's great lawsuit.
Yep.
It's a great lawsuit.
Just don't rely on science. You just have to rely on the government. No, don't rely on the science about it, though.
Right. Just kind of
yeah.
call the EPA as a witness.
There, yeah.
What's her name? Is her name Rice? Is it Rice?
Is it Browner?
What's her name?
Isn't it Carol Browner? I thought she
somebody,
was the head
tell
of
me what's
EPA.
Her name. EPA, head of the EPA. Someone, Twitter, come on.
Come on, Twitter, come on. You guys know this stuff. Tweet it out there.
Anyways, so yeah, this idea that you know CO2 is you know is harmful to our health. Exactly what kind of mindless brain set has to be functioning in these people's heads?
Well, 5 out of 9 people agreed with that. Those would be the ones on the Supreme Court that said, well, of course you can regulate that.
It is fundamentally confusing to me. Somebody said, it's a disconnected subject. Somebody said, universal health care is earned by being human.
What?
Okay. Well, I argued that, you collect unemployment because you earn it. It's something that,
right,
is part of the payroll tax process.
Mm-hmm.
When you
mm-hmm.
work, you accumulate
right.
credits in the unemployment. And so if you become unemployed, you have earned that unemployment amount.
Yep.
Now, there's no way that, you're going to have earned the year and a half that, the government is currently paying out.
Right.
But the premise is you've paid into unemployment, now you're collecting it.
Yeah.
You haven't paid into universal health care.
No.
Although now we've started paying, a little bit into Medicare. That doesn't change the fact that you haven't earned it. Because if you haven't paid anything into it, you can still collect on it. It's still an entitlement.
Yep.
If you haven't paid anything to unemployment, you're shit out of luck. They might extend it, they might expand it, stuff like that, but if you haven't earned it, you still don't get it.
That's right.
So, the universal health care, and so my argument was, you earned the unemployment, in the working for it. You haven't earned the health care. And he said, universal health care is earned by being human.
Hmm.
On the premise that just by being alive, you deserve, universal health care. It is this concept that is disconnected from everything else that goes around it. He is basically saying that because I need health care, I can demand a nurse and a doctor and a hospital provided.
Yeah.
That, that it makes no difference who, what, where, why, when, or how. I can simply say, fix me. And the government says, fix her. And the doctor, the nurse, and the hospital have to do that, whether they get paid for it or not. And that concept of taking the labors, taking from the labors is completely beyond their scope. This idea that, CO2 is a harmful pollutant because it's causing global warming, except for that we expel it with every breath.
Well, not only that, folks, but we are supposedly at 300 and some odd parts per million right now of CO2 in the atmosphere. Guess what? Plants really like it at about 1,000 parts per million. That's what they prefer.
I've been talking about this for, 10 years, maybe longer. I said, CO2 is going to help crop growth,
big time. Big time.
We're going to have plant growth going crazy. Yes, we will have algae blooms in the ocean because there's going to be lots more CO2 available.
Yep.
We're going to have plants growing. We're going to have crop yields going right through the roof. CO2, more CO2 in the air is a wonderful thing for most of the plant life on this planet.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about, and somebody asked this, CO2 level as a percentage in the air, you've given us 300 parts per million, is like 0.0384%. Okay, it's CO2.
3%.
Apparently,
3.4.
Apparently, all of the effort going on in Copenhagen and in cap and trade and stuff like that is going to change the amount of CO2 in the air from 0.0384 to about 0.03. 384.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Wonderful job.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So, yeah, CO2 is good for the planet in multiple regards. Now, you know, you and I talked last week about, you know, sulfur dioxide having an impact upon CO2.
Yes.
I think if things continue to go on, we probably only need a couple more, you know, nice little goodies to be reported or found to be reported very erroneously. There he is. Say A.K. Arkansas Traveler came up with it.
Oh, yeah? Who?
Carol Martha Browner.
Ah, there you go.
Thanks, A.T. Okay. Miss Browner. Idiot.
Really?
You know, do we have scientists anymore in the EPA?
I don't think there's any evidence that there is.
There's no evidence. We've done a study of scientists in the EPA, and we have found that there are none currently.
Yeah, exactly.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Who was it? The person in charge of the California Environmental Protection Organization is an economist, not a scientist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought that was rather.
Isn't that interesting?
Amazing. Have a scientist.
He must have been the one that came up with that pick that Schwarzenegger used then. One that shows Treasure Island underwater and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know, this is Obama not having any, business people in his thing. The job summit.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It has gotten to the point where, if anybody wanted to fact check Obama, I don't know that there is a news organization that has enough people to be able to fact check him at this point.
Probably not.
Because he opens his mouth and he says, "Let me be clear." Okay, let's start with that.
Well, okay, that's when you know he's going to lie.
Virtually everything that comes out of that man's mouth is wrong, inaccurate, less than truthful, is a lie.
Yeah.
There's a scale there of slightly inaccurate to a flat-out lie.
Yep.
I don't know that he says anything. My name is Barack Obama.
Maybe.
that might be the truth.
Nobody's found where there was an actual legal name change from Barry Sotero.
Well,
I don't know. Although I do know here in California, you can call yourself whatever you want. You can use whatever name you want as long as it's not with the intent to defraud.
That's the same where anywhere in the country is like that.
Is that right?
Anywhere in the country is like that. As long as you don't intend to commit fraud, and as long as you hold your name out to everybody in the same way, you can change your name by proclamation.
There you go.
You actually have to get some legal documentation because the government actually wants some kind of actual documentation. But yes, you can change your name legally by proclamation just about anywhere in the country.
Cool.
Came across that about 8 years ago working for Victoria in the law office. Somebody wanted to change their name and had been using the new name for 2 years in another state. But none of the legal documentation, none of the identification was in the other name.
Okay.
We want to do something. In any case, going on beyond that point, I do want to check and see where we are on time. I don't want to have
happen. Looks like
sorry
about 10
that,
minutes.
Folks.
Yeah.
Not paying
well, we screwed up that one.
Ran right out of the timeline.
They're telling me 10 minutes left here, so.
Yeah, 10 minutes left. All right, so I think that's what's going to happen as far as Copenhagen is concerned and ClimateGate's going to concern. I think over the next 2 weeks, I think things are going to get, go from bad to worse at the conference. I think in the end, there's going to be lots of yelling and screaming and recriminations. It might even end early, and I don't know that Obama's actually going to end up over there, especially with this memo being leaked out. I think it's going to create a whole lot of pissed off people, which is, apparently at this particular point in time, Barack Obama's sole signature ability to do with regard to foreign policy is to simply piss off everybody.
Everybody, yes.
Everybody. I said you need to have a special kind of stupid to manage to do everything wrong.
Yep.
I can't imagine that, as hard as I tried to think about it yesterday, I can't think of anything that he's doing at this particular point that would be construed as, oh, that's a good idea.
As positive?
As a positive? As something that is, in fact, going to result in what he said he wants the result to be.
Well, he's getting pretty close on that healthcare thing.
He ain't doing nothing.
Well,
this is the Democrats committing suicide.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. Yep.
I think Reid has simply decided that, he's going to lose, but he's going to get this done.
Well, the polls would certainly indicate that's true in, as far as him losing. I mean, two basically no-names on the R side are running ahead of him by a minimum of 10 points, and one of them's, I think, at 11 points ahead. And that's after he spent like about $1 million trying to make his case for himself there, just in the state of Nevada.
I think he's going to burn every bridge that he can to try and get it done.
Well, he's certainly on his way to doing that. Which actually brings up a kind of an interesting point, because that lesson can't be lost on a number of elected representatives and senators. And the thing that keeps running through my mind is, why would they commit political suicide? There's got to be a payoff of some sort. Why would they commit political suicide?
I would like to suggest, and this is actually something that, maybe I'm giving them too much credit, is in fact their commitment to their ideology is strong enough that, this, they may see this to be the last and only chance for a generation to be able to do this. And like the election of Obama, they want to be part of the historic, even if it ends
with their political demise. Hmm. Well, maybe so. I guess I have a hard time accepting that somebody who has spent their whole career in politics, whose ultimate aim is simply to get reelected, is willing to say, you know what? I don't care about reelection. I'm going to do this.
Well, isn't that what we ask of our politicians? To quit worrying about reelection and do what's right?
We don't agree
with them that is right.
Right.
That's, in fact, what they're doing, is they're saying, we're not going to care about reelection. We're going to do what we believe is the right thing to do. And you have to give them a certain amount of, props for that.
Mm-hmm.
That in fact that's what they're doing.
Well, but we also expect them to be statesmen and women.
Oh, I don't expect that.
I do.
You know me.
Yeah, I know.
First rule. always act in your own best interest. I will never give people crap for acting in their own best interest as long as you can show me that, in fact, you've made an evaluation of it and said this is in your best interest. I'm not going to question your judgment whether it is or not. If you can say this action is in your best interest, you know, and you considered it and said this is in my best interest, you know, even if that action is harmful to me, you know, I'm going to give you props for acting in your own best interest. I'm going to say, good job. Okay?
Yep.
You know, whether it hurts me or not, it's irrelevant. You're acting in your own best interest, and I'm always going to support a person acting in their own best interest. Okay?
Yep.
Now, there are times when people act in what they say is their own best interest when it is obviously not.
Okay.
A person that says, I'm going to have this half bottle of schnapps and then I'm going to drive home. That's
my
best interest. You know, on its face, you're nuts.
It's not
best interest. Okay. You know, I might suggest to you that Harry Reid is, in fact, acting in what he believes to be his own best interest.
Hmm.
You know, I may not be able to see that, you know, but, you know, he might be at a point where his actions are, in fact, what he considers to be in his own best interest. And I'm willing to give him props for that. Even if I don't agree with it, even if I think it's wrong, you know, if he's doing what he thinks is the correct thing to do, not the politically correct thing, but the correct thing to do, then I'm going to give him props for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to try and do everything I can to defeat that effort.
Well, sure.
Just like if you were doing something that was in your best interest that was going to harm me, I'm going to actually do everything I can to stop your doing that.
Well, sure.
But I'm going to do it with respect and the fact that, hey, you know, you're doing something that's good, and, you know, that is the question.
Yep. I'm,
you know, but I agree. I agree with you. You know, what is the payoff? I think that can be a payoff. But you know what? I've never met a whole lot of politicians. I've never seen a whole lot of politicians that actually act that way.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So,
which is why I go back to my default position. Okay, what is it that causes you not to be worried?
Well, you have a Mary Landrieu $400 million payoff, or somebody who says we'll take care of you in the administration. But see, even the administration is, you know, how many senators can they pull into the administration? You know, if 20 of them get, you know, hung out to dry.
Well, and if 20 of them get hung out to dry, it isn't likely that they're going to get confirmed to anything.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Democrats will not be in control.
Yeah, exactly.
They will not be in control. So, all right.
Yeah.
We've only got about a minute left. You know, it's going to be, you know, in the end, I believe Reid is going to get something through the Senate.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
In the end, I believe he's going to get something through the Senate. I don't believe that they're going to be able to get something out of committee that's going to be able to get voted on.
Really?
I actually think that they're... Because whatever comes out of committee is going to have to be voted back in the House.
Well, they're talking about, at this point, the House is talking about not even going to committee, just passing the Senate bill as is and sending it on to the press.
Not without the abortion amendment in there.
Well, there is no abortion amendment in it.
Right. That's
they
the
defeated
problem.
That in the Senate.
Right. So it's not going to get past the House that way.
Sure.
No. They got to prevent abortion being in there. Anyways, do
the
your
shout
out.
Yeah, okay. Arkansas Traveler, Just Me Pammy, Mama Gurkha, thanks for listening. I know you're out there. And Cammie and OC, if you were listening, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Luisa Ma.
Luisa Ma, she's listening too. I forgot about that. I'm sorry.
So, All right, Bill, have a good week.
You
I'll
too.
I'll dig out, and you know, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Into the green room.
Into the green room.
Into the green room.
You know, it's a shame that we weren't able to get into some economic stuff. Were you following the thing about Dubai?
Yeah, it's actually, you know, it's suggested that it's going to take at least another couple weeks before it really hits the big thing. But, of course, Greece is following right behind it.
Well, and with Dubai, you now have a sovereign fund that has defaulted. If Greece follows, that's two.
You know, was it you that I was talking to about it last week? Was it someone else I was talking to about it? You know, how long can we go before the other shoe drops?
Yeah. You think that was a shoe?
You know, I've always been amazed at how long, you know, here's an example. Last week, Victoria finally had the laser surgery done on her eye.
Oh, cool. Okay. No, I did not hear that.
No, we had planned on it a couple weeks before that, about a month before that, and
yeah.
Couldn't do it because there was too much blood in her eye, so they went ahead and did it. 700 laser shots into her eye.
Wow.
She had been complaining most of last week about a tooth that was bothering her. And
yeah.
Thursday was the laser surgery. By Thursday night, she said, that's it. This tooth is bothering me too much. So we ended up Friday morning going to the orthodontic surgeon where they took the tooth out.
Hmm.
So she had oral surgery and had the tooth removed. And then I got sick Friday night.
Yeah.
And I was down most of Saturday. Sunday I had to be better on Sunday. I had a lot of work to do over the weekend, and I had to get some of it done on Sunday. And I got to the point where I was well enough on Sunday to work and get work done. She had recovered, and I was talking to her today about her tooth. She's very happy that, you know, the tooth isn't bothering her. I said, are you at this point sorry that you waited as long as you did? She goes, yeah, I should have done it 2 or 3 days earlier. And, you know, we as a species are willing to tolerate a certain amount of pain and suffering for a lot longer periods than you would think, you know, people are willing to do.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And, you know, John Stuart Mill said it in his thing, you know, we are much more willing to suffer, you know, large amounts of minor transgressions than, you know, to disrupt our lives so much to end them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Victoria knew that there would be going into, you know, having the tooth pulled would entail a certain amount of pain and suffering, but
sure.
In the end, the long term was more positive.
Yep.
And she put it off to the point where she just wasn't willing to do so anymore. And that's kind of where I think we are as far as the economy is concerned. There's a lot of bad things that are sitting out there, and, you know, we know banks are carrying a whole shitload of bad paper on there. Everybody knows that they're carrying a whole shitload of bad paper on there.
Yep.
You know, but no one's willing to do, you know, we're suffering as far as the economy is concerned. We're not going to recover anywhere near as fast as we can.
Nope.
Simply because we're not willing to face that short-term pain, you know, to get rid of, you know, this infected tooth. Where if we actually do that, we could, you know, get past this a lot faster.
Yes, we could.
I'm personally in a quandary.
Okay.
I want Obama to continue doing what he's doing.
Okay.
Personally, good for my business.
Yes,
you know,
that's
long,
true.
The longer this drags on, you know, the more people, you know, will start falling off the cliff.
Yes.
You know, they can only hold on by the skin of their, you know, nails for so long before it finally goes over. And the longer this goes on, the less people are going to be able to hang on.
That's true.
And so, you know, from my business point of view, you know, it's a positive thing to continue that. Politically, you know, the longer he continues to do this, the longer this is going to drag out and the more damage he's going to do to the Democratic Party and to the liberal mindset.
Yes.
You know, as we get closer and closer to the elections next year. But at the same token, I'm concerned that if the damage is so significant to the Democratic Party in Congress in 2010, that he will be able to then use the next 2 years as, you know, I've been trying to get lots of things done and I'm being stymied by, you know, the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be able to rehabilitate himself to a minor degree. So I'm actually kind of in the mood that, you know, I want it to be bad enough to keep things bad politically,
mm-hmm.
but not bad enough that the Democrats lose control. I'd like them to be in a position where they're not quite as in control as they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this only would require, like, two senators. That's it. You know, two senators lost. That's all they have to lose. And then Reed has to compromise to get anything done. You know, at that point.
Yeah, I don't know. We've got more rhinos than that.
Oh, no. At that point, what happens is the rhinos will be able to cover him much better, and he'll be able to make comments of bipartisanship, and they'll continue to do things that are stupid as far as the economy is concerned.
You know, I understand your reasoning on that. Here's where I disagree with it. He can do enough damage that we can't recover from it.
I was thinking about that. You know, because, you know, given how much debt we are in and going in over the next, you know, 3 to 4 years,
mm-hmm.
The amount of stuff that's going in, is this a recoverable amount of damage? And my answer is, I believe the answer is yes. Okay? But it would require, and I don't believe Palin is that person. It would require someone of extraordinary skill and ability, and it would take extraordinary measures. But I think it's something that can be, recovered from. But it would, he talked about hope and change and dramatically changing the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I think the repair would be equally dramatic. You know, I think, you know, the repair that would have to be done is, you know, he simply, whoever becomes president in 12, okay,
mm-hmm.
Let's assume that Obama continues for the next, let's say for the next 2 years,
mm-hmm.
he continues his current path of, you know, destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign policy, domestic policy, he just absolutely continues to tear things to hell, okay? So that we are in just, you know, absolutely bad shit going into the 2012 election, okay? This is what I think could do, and Afghanistan becomes a nightmare, a mess nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I think three things could change it. I think what you do is you come in with a president that comes into the military and says, I want a list of every target in Iran, Pakistan, and Afghanistan that we can hit in 12 hours. I want them all, and I want the military ready to hit them all in 12 hours on my go. And within 30 to 45 days of becoming president, that go is given. And we just simply, you know, literally, without regard to collateral damage, anything, just simply roll up that part of the country, that part of the planet. Just roll it up. Just level it. I mean, there are places, you know, in Iran where I just take the whole town, you know, where the guards' barracks are, and just level the town. Just level it. Without regard, without any regard, you know, to collateral damage. Just simply, what we want to do here is we want to take, you know, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, and we want to absolutely knock them on their ass. We may not knock them out, but I want them knocked right on their ass. You know, and not necessarily have a follow-up, but simply dump military into the Middle East, the likes of which, you know, we haven't ever seen. Okay? And then I want him, by executive order, to simply stop all federal collections of taxes. Period. All of them. Every single penny of it. Stop. And every single executive branch, office, committee, and otherwise that's not essential for the operation of government gets suspended right then and there.
Don't know that he can, but yeah, okay.
Well, executive branch. He can take.
Oh, the executive branch.
On the executive branch, he can take every single cabinet position, every single department that's under the executive branch, and he can say, you know, these 80 departments are not essential requirements for the operation of government. You know, you guys are, you know, done. You're closed. You know, we'll talk about it in a year about whether we're going to re-implement you or not. You know, done. And it's going to wipe out, you know, 300, 400,000 federal jobs.
Works for me.
Yeah, not a problem. You know, and, you know, no federal income taxes, no federal, you know, Social Security taxes, nothing. Zero. Done. You know, now that's going to dump, you know, almost $2 trillion worth of money right into consumers' pockets. You know, it'll be hundreds of dollars per paycheck into consumers' pockets. Instantly. Businesses, you know, will have thousands of dollars, you know, per employee of extra funds per month. Instantly.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. I think those two acts, okay, can make a significant change. And then the third one is probably a lot harder to do, and that is to tell our friends, you know, our real friends, you know, in foreign countries, you know, that for the next 4 years, we absolutely have your backs 100%, and to our enemies, you know, Hugo Chavez, you've got about 15 minutes before I start rolling up your little neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Okay, and at that point, you know, he rolls up the Middle East, you know, and then turns and says, next.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I think those three acts, you know, would go a huge, huge way towards, you know, fixing virtually any damage that Obama can do. And then, you know, things have to be rolled back. I think health care has to be rolled back. The cap and trade, which may get a second wind, would have to be rolled back. I think those things are there. You know, but I think it can be done. You know, but it would take an extraordinary person to do it. An extraordinary person.
Well, it would also take the cooperation of Congress. I mean, you know, for instance, to roll up the EPA, sure, you can get rid of the cabinet appointment part of it, but you aren't going to be able to get rid of that bureaucracy.
Sure you can. Remember, I just told you.
No. They were created by an act of Congress.
Okay.
Congress is the only ones that can disband the EPA. You can refuse to provide a head for it. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, anywhere the executive branch can shut down government.
Yep.
I agree. That is not the absolute essential for the operation of government, shut it down.
Yep.
Literally, you could shut down the IRS. I don't need you for the next year. We're not going to have any funds. We're not going to have any money to collect. Can't get rid of Treasury because, there's currency and all that stuff that are going on. Military stays, judiciary stays, but, virtually everything else,
mm-hmm.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
Shut it down. And I think, we're gone. We're not on the air anymore.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. I wonder when that went off.
Hmm.
Oh, well.
Wow, that was quick.
Don't know when that happened.
Huh? I'll be darned.
We just went. Oh, well. Anyways, it doesn't change the fact.
Yeah.
That's what I believe can happen. I believe it can be done. But it'll take an extraordinary act.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I maybe things have got to get bad enough that the American public would accept that. Maybe that's true. I just don't see a clear path to doing what you suggest, and consequently the damage that I see happening, kind of like FDR and his whole Social Security and all of the New Deal and all that kind of stuff. My God, we haven't been able to roll that back. We haven't been able to roll back LBJ's war on poverty. We simply haven't been able to roll all that back. So I'm a little more pessimistic,
I guess.
There's
been no effort to do so. But there's been no effort to do so either.
Well, sure.
Tired to do so, but there's been no effort to do so.
Well, sure there has. The most recent example is Bush and partial privatization of Social Security. And God, did he get hammered for that one. So, we just don't have a very good track record of being able to roll that stuff back.
Well, I think we have a better chance with doing the health care reform simply because it won't have implemented, at 2012.
That's true. That's true. The taxes will have been collected, but the program itself will not have started.
Right.
So, yeah. Yep, yep.
Right.
Well, I'm going to go finish my dinner. we got late start tonight.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah.
CJ was, I don't know if you heard it, did he forget she was here at the beginning of the show?
Oops. Did I forget? Oh, did I forget that? Oh, because I got there late?
Yeah.
I was trying to gobble down a couple of bites before I had to get on the phone because I knew I was going to be a while. So.
All right, I'm going to go put the dogs out for their last, pee call for the night.
Don't get lost in the blizzard there.
No. All right.
All righty, kiddo.
Talk to you later.
Right. Bye.
Bye.